John Campbell is in the studio with us this morning. Former executive press officer, whatever his title is, David Gordon. Is that your title?
Well, it's not my title now.
Was it your title?
Executive press secretary. Well, I can't remember that.
I can't remember that. Nor do I ever want to give you your proper former title. Good morning to you as well, David. John, clear a few things up for us, first of all, about the money and whether how much of it stops and doesn't stop.
OK, so the £10 billion of the block grant is still there and available to spend. Normally, to have the legal authority to spend that money, we need to have a Budget Act passed by Stormont, the Assembly. That hasn't happened. But instead, there's a piece of legislation which means that David Stirling, who's the top official at the Department of Finance, tomorrow he will have access to a sum of money equivalent to 75% of this year's budget. So that means in the short term, at least, he can continue to keep services operating, pay salaries, keep the lights on, so people shouldn't really notice any difference. Now, if he gets far as July and there's still no budget, then he gets a sum of money equivalent to 95% of this year's budget.
But 5% will have a significant impact. We will feel that, will we?
And a cut would be a bigger than 5% because you'd have to take into account inflation as well. So you'd be looking at a cut in the middle of the financial year of probably 7%. Which would be incredibly, incredibly difficult to manage.
But Connor said this morning, and to be fair to Connor, I wasn't sure enough of my ground. Yeah. No doubt you are. He was saying this morning, no, the money continues into next March.
The money could flow right up.
But
to,
not
to
all
next
of it
March,
does.
But not all of it, yes. Because first of all, you'd have that 5% nailed on cut anyway. There's another big complication in the middle of this, which is that although David Stirling has access to that money in the block grant, the money that comes from Westminster, there are a couple of things here. First of all, there's the farm subsidies which come from the EU. There's no authority to pay that money out. So instead, the farmers would have to be paid out of the block grant pot. And then if there's ever a deal, then they would settle up between these two pots. Also, there's no rates legislation has been passed by Stormont. So we can't collect rates. So again, in order to keep the councils operating, they will be getting money from the block grant, not from their normal sources. So you see, there's those two huge spending pressures.
That doesn't mean we stop paying our rates, does it?
No. We'll get a rates bill eventually. I don't know quite when yet, but we'll have to pay our rates eventually. But so those are two huge spending items, farm subsidies and rates, which have to come out of the block grant. They don't normally come out of the block grant. So long before we would get to the end of the financial year, there would be enormous pressure on Stormont budgets. So yes, the system is set up so as services can keep operating in the short term, but big pressure will start to come on to spending the longer it
goes
on.
And I mentioned some of these community groups today who I've been hearing over recent weeks, they've been contacting me and other shows saying that their jobs are in jeopardy. How come?
It's because with some community groups, they don't have multi-year funding deals with Stormont, with their funding departments. They just get their money from year to year. So we're now in the situation where the budget is very uncertain. So it may be that civil servants who fund those community groups will say, I'm sorry, we're counting this as new spending. We're not doing any new spending because of the pressures and the uncertainty around this budget. So we can't release your funds for the coming year. So that's why those voluntary groups who are funded on that short-term basis, they will have put staff on notice of redundancy. So potentially by the end of this week, we'll get clarity on what's going to happen there.
What is happening at the moment in Northern Ireland, David? What's your read of this?
The phrase you keep hearing, uncharted waters. You know, the budget thing is a really big issue, and I think it gets unsustainable quite quickly, maybe as early as May. And I mean, I wouldn't rule out James Brokenshire bringing in some kind of budget and rates order through Westminster to effectively impose a budget on us not that long after Easter.
He can do that, can he?
Well, Westminster could do that. I mean, they did something similar for welfare reform.
Yeah, Westminster ultimately can do anything that they want, really. If they choose to have some piece of special legislation, they can do it.
And so let me just test that with you. So is Sinn Féin in the position? John's just said Westminster can do anything they want. So Sinn Féin are currently saying, what a great election they've had. If they don't come up with a deal, have they essentially delivered Westminster doing whatever they want? The question is, can they stop Westminster doing whatever they want?
Well, Westminster can bring in a direct rule. Then the budget and rates order wouldn't actually be a direct rule. It would be kind of a stopgap measure to two clear up some of the uncertainty that would arise. Now, the budget thing is complicated. It's not financial Armageddon at the end of the week. It's not like Washington shutdown where the public sector workers all have to go home. The money keeps flowing, but it gets messy. There's issues of legal authority. There's difficulties planning departmental budgets and public bodies. Yeah. So it starts to unravel quite quickly.
But the ordinary punters listening to this show don't care if it gets messy. They care if it affects them. They care if they feel it. Yeah. They don't care.
Well, the bottom line is, if there's not a deal, at some point or other, direct rule is going to have to come in, whether before or after an election. Direct rule is the inevitable conclusion of continuing stalemate at Stormont. And that means Tory direct rule, that means full fat austerity, you could say, more than likely. So that is what we're looking at if there isn't an agreement.
Really? Or is that just scare tactics?
Well, it can't go on. It can't go on with civil servants effectively trying to mind the shop. That's just not sustainable. Well, first of all, the budget thing. And secondly, it's just, you know, no government will sit back and just let this thing unravel.
I think it's worth just noting something that David Stirling, so he's the man who will take control of the chequebook tomorrow. Back in January, he said he's acknowledged the Department of Health faces real difficulties in this scenario because the quality of service provided will depend on the pattern of spending the department's allowed to incur from the beginning of April, and some big decisions need to be taken around that. So, in essence, all will be happening with the Department of Health. They'll be told, just rule on the current spending situation. But they can't take the big policy decisions that urgently need to be taken.
Yeah. When you were up there...
Just on that, because Sir Malcolm McKibben, head of civil service, wrote a letter to staff yesterday trying to set out the situation, and it included the sentence, "We will not be able to launch any new programmes, projects or policies which would require ministerial or executive endorsement." So, I mean, government effectively stops.
But when you were up there in the heart of the executive, it wasn't too long ago that you were pushing the message out, David, on behalf of the First and Deputy First Minister and indeed some others, that unless we radically changed the health service very, very quickly, it was going to get even worse.
Yeah, well, the Ben-Gur reform is the biggest challenge policy-wise facing either an executive or a director.
Well, that's
minister.
Going nowhere.
Well, that can be brought on to some extent by the department, but not any radical. You know, if, for instance, part of the reform involved closing down a hospital unit or moving it 50 miles up the road, centralising it, I would have thought that could be put in challenge in court. Where's your ministerial authority for that? And that's part of the uncertainty. At some point, somebody will take a judicial review against a decision being taken by the civil service, and there's no ministerial authority. That would be a very interesting test case. Nobody wants to go there. This just isn't sustainable.
Let's speak to Rose Newton-Stewart. Morning, Rose.
Morning. Just one question. Unionists are insisting that they want to be British. So the same-sex law, a same-sex marriage is law in Britain. So why aren't they following British rules?
Well, so you're putting that really to the DUP this morning?
Yeah.
Do you want to hear the response?
Please.
DUP really, really trying their best, Rose, to speak to you this morning and represent their electorate in this programme. They phoned us this morning and they said, nah, we're not going to talk to anybody this morning on the programme.
Typical. They're like children throwing their dummies at the pram.
Do you think their money should stop along with other parties?
Definitely. But they should be able to pay their staff, because obviously the staff do most of the work.
Rose, thank you.
Well, that's an interesting question. Another one of the issues that James Brogan Church is going to have to tackle at some point if this continues. How long does he keep paying MLAs their full pay and their expenses, their office running costs? And I remember back 2002, there was suspension of the Assembly. That went on for nearly 5 years. Throughout that period, MLAs got paid. I can't see that being sustainable this time, and I can't see James Brogan Church going along with it. And it actually was one of the levers.
But do you think he's the type? Do you get a sense that he's the type to take a bullish move like that and stop their pay?
Well, I used the phrase yesterday, he needs to put his big boy pants on and take some decisions.
Has he had his big boy pants on so far?
Well, we'll see if he's trying them on at the minute. He is making a statement to the Commons today. Big thing to do there. I mean, he has said there's a short window. What does he mean by that? Does he mean he's going to put a time limit talk process? You've heard this.
Yeah, but he hasn't.
Well, no, he hasn't yet, but his statement in the Commons, he's going to spell out the next steps. So what do we have a different talk process? And the more you hear about the talk process we've just had, the weirder it sounds. No chairman, no roundtable plenaries with the parties. Just seems to have drifted on, and whatever you're having yourself.
So is he the blame?
Well, he's ultimately the Secretary of State. He must have some authority in this, and he's let this drift. And so does he bring in a new talk process? Does he bring in an independent chairman, for instance? Does he move this forward, or do we just go on doing the same thing and hope we get a different result?
And a short window is not defined, obviously, so that gives him as long as...
And then you have this phrase...
Could this go on for months and months and months?
Well, it can't because of the budget, and it can't anyway. I just don't think it can go on. I think the patience of everybody will snap. But here's this phrase. I don't think there's any appetite for any further immediate snap election. What does that mean? Does that mean there's going to be an election or not? And while the election threat hangs there in the background, does that stop parties compromising more? Do the parties, are they too busy going to go back to the mattresses again and have more argy-bargy at election time?